Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
Hello, I'm Tristan Riddell.
And I'm the girl.
And this is Nerd Nuptial episode 124. If this is your first time listening, we are a married couple who looks at life through a nerdy lens. How are you doing today?
We're good.
Are we?
We are. We're all good.
Because last week, not so much.
Not so much. We missed an episode. Not because we didn't want to. Not because the spirit wasn't willing. It's because you and Ripley were really sick.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
Really sick.
Like, whatever you're imagining.
Yeah.
Triple it.
Yeah.
That's how bad we were. So we really do apologize. Whenever we miss a week, it's always because of something serious.
I think we had a good...
Not something serious, but it's always because of something, external forces, but usually not something this serious.
Yeah, I mean...
This was crazy.
You were in the ER.
And so, so was the
Ripley.
Baby.
So it was lots of fun for me.
It was a lot of fun for you because I was in the ER Saturday night.
Yeah.
She was in the ER Sunday night.
Right.
And we normally record Sundays.
And we were planning on recording Mondays. About the Oscars on Sunday night, like after we watched them. No, I was in the ER with her. So
it was,
yeah.
It took. So, yeah, I was. I couldn't go with you because I was so ill.
Yeah.
So you had to go with your parents to the ER to take Ripley. And the Oscars were going on. I wasn't watching because I was just, I was like, I was only going to watch with you.
Yeah.
But I would see it pop up on Twitter and I text you every once in a while who was winning. And
I'm pretty sure I didn't get those texts.
Yeah. I just, because I think I did it once or twice. And then after I did that, I was just like, what am I doing? Think about where she is right now.
Yeah. No, Ripley and I were watching Frozen for the billionth time and Moana.
It was rough. Yeah. We had a stomach virus. So it's just,
It wasn't the flu. It was a stomach virus. And it was just everything happened at once. And like, we thought Ripley was more ill and then you got more ill than Ripley. And then it was kind of a nightmare. I'm not going to lie. It was a nightmare weekend. And this weekend we made up for it.
Yeah. We had a great weekend this weekend.
And luckily it was, you know, you guys got over it within a week, but it took like a full week to get over it.
To get fully like, And that's another thing is that like, even if I was feeling better, my voice was completely gone.
It was completely gone.
Like even my other show, my Star Trek show, Punch It, Writing in Star Trek,
which
everyone should go to thenerdparty.com and check it out. I had to cancel that even though I was feeling better because I had no voice.
Nope.
I had zero voice.
So if you're out there not feeling so well and just maybe listening to our voices, we feel for you.
We do
feel
for you.
We've been there. It sucks.
A lot of people are getting sick around this time.
It's terrible.
All over the world.
Yeah, it's horrible.
It absolutely is horrible. But so, I want to thank everybody who wished me and Ripley well on Instagram and Twitter and everything like that.
It was very nice.
I didn't give a lot of details, but I gave some, like while I was in it, like after we started feeling better, I gave everybody a little bit more details online. But thank you everybody for the emails and the messages and the well wishes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we missed the Oscars.
Yes.
And I was wrong with a lot of my predictions.
Oh my gosh. It was kind of like hilarious how wrong we were. And also hilarious that Best Picture was Green Book.
The one film we did not watch.
We didn't see two or three that we had not seen. And
two.
Okay, and that was the one that won.
And Vice was the only one, was the other one that we hadn't seen, but no one thought Vice was going to win. But I was convinced it was going to be Roma or The Favorite because I thought all the behind the scenes drama with Green Book about how like the family that is the family of the individual that it's based on all rejected the story, said that's not how it happened.
Yeah.
And like all this other stuff that I don't even want to go into right now about all the drama behind that. I thought it was going to just, people are just going to go, oh, no. Like,
well, and also everyone we talked to who had seen it didn't really like it.
They called it uninspiring. They were just like,
yeah. So the fact that it won, we were just like, what?
But the thing is, we haven't seen it.
So we can't really judge it because we haven't seen it.
We can't comment on it.
All we know is like what people have told us. And that's not fair because we often have different opinions. So we will watch it when it comes out.
Eventually. Maybe when it comes to streaming. Yeah. but that's, and like, and also because I was convinced Roma was going to win. I still think Roma should have won.
Well, he won Best Picture. I mean, Best Director.
He won Best Director. It also won Best Foreign Language Film.
Right.
But this was a prime opportunity for, this would have been the first non-English film, non-English speaking film to win Best Picture.
Okay.
If it won.
Oh, wow.
That
wow.
would have been huge.
That would have been huge. Yeah, absolutely.
And Olivia Colman won for Best Actress. Yes,
I was happy about that. I was excited about that.
That one we predicted.
We did.
But then basically everything else.
Rachel Weisz and
Emma Stone did not win. It was Regina King.
I was kind of bummed about that because I really like both of them.
But Regina King was in Beale Street. And we didn't see that one either.
So we can't judge it.
We can't judge that
so
either.
So maybe we shouldn't be like, oh, I'm sad that they, you know, Rachel Weisz and Emma, you know, Stone didn't get it because I don't know how she did.
She could have. She could have done a lot of people thought she did a better job. So
exactly.
And that's kind of was our Oscar experience. Is that like the stuff that won is the stuff that we hadn't seen, and so that's why we need to try so hard this year to try to see.
We tried really hard though.
We really did.
You know, with the factor of having a kid, and you know, you don't have like all the time in the world to go to movies and. Nor the money, the extra money just to go to movies. You know, we did our best.
There was two things that were important to me.
Okay.
About the Oscars.
Yes.
And you asked me about this last episode. And I said First Reformed better win Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah.
And Bohemian Rhapsody better not win Best Editing. What two things happened?
Yeah, so Bohemian Rhapsody won
for Best Editing,
which is hilarious.
And First Reformed didn't win for Best Original Screenplay. Right.
Wasn't it Green Book?
It was Green Book.
We're like, cool, whatever, we can't. Oh, frustrating.
It's so frustrating. Like, those are the two. I've never once actually had the thought of, as long as this doesn't win, I'll be happy.
Right. Like, that's so mean.
I know it's mean, but that's how much horrible the edit. I don't understand how people thought, how the Academy voters thought that it deserved Best Editing. It's become a joke online about how people are sharing scenes.
Really?
They're ripping scenes from the movie, putting on Twitter and saying, do you really think this is well edited? And it's just nonsense. There's like 15 cuts in 20 seconds.
Oh my gosh.
Or like 30 seconds or something like that.
But Best Actor went to
Mahershala Ali.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
And, oh no, that was supporting. No, I'm sorry. That was supporting.
Wait, I thought it was
Rami. It's Rami Malek. Yeah. Sorry, I got my supporting.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. He got that, and I was happy about that.
Yes, I think that's
a positive note from Bohemian Rhapsody.
A positive note from Bohemian Rhapsody. That was the best thing, and that's the thing is that like I don't think. Of course, everybody has their own opinions, but I feel it's universally, I think, accepted that he did a fantastic job in a mediocre movie.
Yeah.
It was right actor, wrong movie.
Yes.
I think.
I think so, too.
And a couple days after he won the Oscar, he was in negotiations to be the next villain in the next Bond film.
Which is fantastic. That's so cool.
That's just so cool.
Right. I mean, who doesn't want to be a Bond villain?
Right?
That'd be fantastic. Oh gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Villains are so much more fun to play.
I think we had in Skyfall we had Javier Bardem. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he brought something special to it. And I feel like Rami will have that same kind of quality of just like when you see someone, you know that they're gonna bring something different.
Mm-hmm.
And what's his name? Oh my gosh, the guy who was the last villain who played Blofeld. He was in
cuz he was in like a bunch of he was in that. Oh my this is really bad.
This is so sad. I can't believe It's Christoph Waltz.
Waltz.
I cannot believe I blanked so hard on him. Like, okay, like he was born to be a Bond villain.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing is that when he was cast, you knew exactly what you were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Javier Bardem, and I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing, but I think with Malick and Bardem, you're not quite sure what they're going to do.
Yeah,
or what they were going to get, or what he was going to do and what Rami's going to do. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, but I was excited about that win. And I was also excited about Best Director win because felt like he deserved that. And we love his work.
And it won Best Cinematographer.
Yeah, and it should have.
And he was the cinematographer.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah. He was originally, he was going to be with Emmanuel Lubezki, I think that's how you say his name. I'm getting named all wrong. He's a genius cinematographer, and it's his cinematographer for a long time, but he was unavailable. So he's like, fine, screw it, I'll just do it myself. And he won the Oscar.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got Best Foreign Language.
But it was beautiful.
Film, Best Director and Best Cinematographer.
It was beautiful. That's amazing.
So good for him.
So okay. He won all of those with a Netflix.
That's right.
A Netflix movie.
Yes, he did. Is it a movie? The girl? Is it a movie?
Okay. So recently, was it in the past week?
Just the past couple of days.
Okay.
From recording this and from the release, Steven Spielberg announced that he was going to try to introduce some new rules and qualifications to limit streaming services being able to be qualified for Academy Awards.
So, meaning, like, basically, you cannot submit your movie.
It's not so much that. Like, the headlines and reporters are trying to kind of running with it and saying, like, oh, Spielberg is saying that streaming doesn't count. What Spielberg is trying to do is you can only be qualified for the Oscars if you have a theatrical run of a couple of weeks, I think. It's less than a month.
Okay.
I can't remember the exact number, but it's less than a month. It only has to be a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And so you can have a limited run. Like Roma had a very limited run. It was less than a month in the theaters, and it was only on 100 screens.
Okay.
And that's very small.
It is. Basically, just so that they could qualify.
Exactly. That's the thing. Okay. They did the bare minimum just so that they could qualify for the Academy Awards, and they did.
And honestly, why wouldn't you just do that?
Right.
That kind of film, because you are Netflix. So if you want to be considered, do the requirement that's mm-hmm. required of you, and then see where it goes.
And that's
it obviously
what they did.
Benefited them.
They did. They did the requirements. Right. Those are the requirements laid forth by the Academy. And Spielberg is not happy with that. He wants it to be at least a month in a wide release to be qualified for the Oscars. So he's not saying that streaming films can't do it. He's saying that it needs to be at least a month with a wide release. And a lot of people are upset with that because some people are saying, like, well, that's old style thinking. Like, what does it matter? Like, what does the distribution of a film matter? And because some people are saying that the directing, producing, writing, editing, costume design, makeup design, acting, you need the same level of talent
mm-hmm.
in order to make a great film, even if it's on streaming.
Right.
It's not like because it's distributed on streaming, it's less quality.
Right.
And other people are saying, well, no, like including Spielberg is saying, when you devote yourself to a streaming format, it's made for TV. It's a TV format, so you made it made for TV movie, a direct-to-video movie, not a theatrical release. And so you belong at the Emmys, not at the Oscars. That's his line of thinking. And so if you want to be considered for the Oscars, you need to have a wide release with more than a month in the theatrical run. And on top of that, I forgot about this. There's a 90-day waiting period of exclusivity for theaters. So if you want to release in theaters, you have to wait 90 days before you release on streaming.
Oh, wait, that already exists? Or
it's how do I phrase this?
Or is that a rule he's trying to make?
There are certain theaters that will only take films if they're not going to be on streaming or not going to be on DVD for 90 days.
Okay.
Because the theaters want that exclusivity because they're like, if a person knows that it's available on streaming a week later, why would they come to the theaters to see it?
Right.
But if they have that 90-day waiting period, then...
they want to be a part of the conversation.
Exactly. 100%.
Okay.
And so I think... I don't think that's part of Academy rules. I think that's just a theatrical rule. But that could be tied up in all of this.
Well, we kind of did that with Annihilation, where we were like interested in the film and we knew that like overseas they were going to get it on Netflix, but we weren't. And so we were like, well, we want to be a part of the conversation. Although at that time, it really wasn't a huge conversation to be had.
Yeah.
I think it's become more of a favorite later on.
Yes.
But
once it was released, but we released were on
like,
video.
Yeah, exactly. But we were like, well, even if it does come, I want to see it now. So I do understand that logic and maybe to like keep the cinema experience going because of the direction we are going where, you know, we are having Academy Awards recognize Best Director from a streaming service. But he also, they also got a really fantastic director.
Right. It's Alfonso Cuarón.
Right. So
like he's not,
he's deserving.
He's not making Samurai Cop here. Right. Like he's making Roma.
Right. So, okay. So what do you, how do you feel about Spielberg's, you know,
here,
thoughts on that?
Here, I have, I'm of two minds.
Okay.
Nothing that Spielberg has said is inherently wrong.
Okay.
I think it is, like, when you devote yourself to a streaming format, your mainline distribution is the home.
Mm-hmm.
It's the television.
Mm-hmm.
It's the home experience. It's the home theater experience. And so there is a huge argument to be made that, yeah, it's a made-for-TV movie. And I'm okay with that. To the idea that Roma is made for television, sure. Does that mean it's any less of a great movie? No. Does it mean that it's any less than a great directorial presentation? No. Is it less well-edited? No. That's the thing, is that I don't think Spielberg is wrong in calling it a TV format, but I also think that things are changing. Times are changing.
Mm-hmm.
The media landscape is drastically different than it was even 10 years ago, 5 years ago even.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to change with it. It's time to remove the stigma of made for TV. We're in the golden age of television. We are in a post-Breaking Bad world.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad was one of the best TV shows in the past 25 years. It elevated the medium, and TV has become a huge contender, getting more talent behind the camera and in front of the camera.
Right.
With streaming like Amazon and Hulu and Netflix,
mm-hmm.
we are getting that same kind of talent, and they're making films.
Right.
Instead of just an episodic format.
Right.
And so I think, me personally, is that, okay, if they're going to do a film format, as in 90 minutes or more,
mm-hmm.
then it should be considered for any award that it needs to be considered for, regardless of theatrical distribution, because they don't give Oscars away for best distributed film.
Right, right. Yeah. That's my thought process too, is like things are changing. Like if you had asked me that like 10 years ago, I would have been like, no, like no. But also look at the quality 10 years ago of a, you know, what did Netflix look like 10 years ago? It's very different than it mm-hmm. is today. So, I mean, clearly they made Roma to be a contender for the Oscars. I mean, they put all of their energy into that to be the best picture or a best picture nominee, right? So I don't really care how we get great movies as long as we get great movies. So, like, what does it really matter? And, like, I mean, yes, like I understand the idea of like, okay, well, it should be distributed, but does that, like you said, does that really matter when it comes to like the best director, the best movie, the best picture? You know, does it? I don't think it does.
It's here's the thing, like if it was a different kind of director, if it wasn't Spielberg who was suggesting these changes because he's on the board, clearly,
right.
You'd think it would be because of like they don't want the competition, but it's Spielberg.
Right. He doesn't need,
He doesn't need the accolades. Right. It's not a competition thing for him. It's his, I'm not, this is going to be very insulting, but it's an old man's vision of what he grew up with. He wants to preserve the theatrical experience as much as possible.
Well, I think that's a lot of what the Academy does, right? In its own way.
I think some people's belief is that the Academy is there to promote theater-driven films, but I see the Academy as and the beauty of what they do with archival, mm-hmm. They're archivists of films,
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't really matter if they're distributed via theater or via streaming or via direct DVD or whatever. I don't as long as they can store the prints,
mm-hmm.
then it doesn't really matter. But some people believe, no, the Academy is there to promote the theatrical experience. And it's just, Spielberg absolutely loves it. He's kind of like the polar opposite of Lucas. Lucas is just like, whatever. Digital, great. Let's THX, home theater, boom, do it. Mm-hmm. However you want
right.
to consume movies as long as you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg is like, no. We need to be sitting in a dark room with a bunch of strangers and then project light through celluloid. That's what a theater is supposed to do. And that's how you get awards. And
And I think when it comes to that type of thinking, I think you have to adapt and change, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that in any field, right, you have to adapt and change with the times. And obviously Netflix is a new beast in that realm, where it wasn't really even a thought a few years ago that they would be submitting to the Oscars, but now they are. So now it has to be a consideration. Now, do I think that it would be possible that they might need to have more time in the theater? Sure, they make that requirement or whatever. Netflix is big enough, I think they can handle that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do think that you might be missing out on films like Roma, because a lot of the general audiences, I don't necessarily think would go and buy a ticket for Roma.
That's the thing.
So then you're missing out on some really fantastic, experience in cinema, because it's a smaller film. Not everything has to be as epic as Jurassic Park or these huge blockbusters. And for us, that's kind of, we kind of feel like, what we go see the theater for is something that we need to see on the big screen. Roma, you do not need to see on the big screen, because it was meant for the television screen. But it doesn't mean that it's any less than the movies that we saw on the big screen this year. Mm-hmm. In fact, it was probably better. So,
well, you thought it was the best made of 2018.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it's interesting, because there are people who are listening to this podcast, and there are people who are a part of the Nerd Party who are such hardcore theatrical lovers.
Mm.
And there's Lee Hutchison,
mm-hmm.
who is listening right now as I speak and is shifting in his seat because he's frustrated about what we're saying about theater. And
like many of you, I'm sure.
Like many of you. And that's the thing. It's all comes down to personal opinion, preference and opinion.
Just
and
like a, movies. Like yeah. why I think Roma was the best and some other person might not. So that's fine.
Lee is he has a cinema pass, and he goes to festivals all the time. And you should check out his show.
Yes,
his two shows, Filibuster, as well as the A24 Project.
Yeah,
because he represents the Nerd Party at a lot of festivals, interviews a lot of great people, sees everything that you could possibly think of, and he wants to see it in the theater. If he's going to see a movie for the first time, he wants to see it in the theater. There's a movie, Eighth Grade. The movie, mm-hmm. Eighth Grade. He still has yet to see Eighth Grade because it wasn't released in the UK for a long time. And it's been released, but things keep popping up, where he can't see it. But at any time, he could go rent it.
Okay.
But he refuses to do that.
Because he wants to see it
in the theater.
And
also, he was in the States when it was released on video.
Oh, really?
And all he had to do was go on Amazon Prime and watch it. And he's like,
well,
no.
We actually saw him last winter, and he was going to see a movie on his, vacation.
On his vacation.
He was
going to go see some movies.
Holiday. So it's and we don't do that.
No.
We're a completely different beast when it comes to that. If we could watch every single movie in our bed, in our bedroom, with no one there, we would do that.
100%. Because we have a gigantic TV.
Yes.
We have a great sound system that's right. surround.
Right.
The TV is OLED, so it's perfect contrast and perfect color.
I can be in my pajamas.
I could be. No one's texting.
Exactly.
No one's talking. No kids are screaming. No one smells. Well,
maybe ours.
Maybe our kid. And so I don't need the theatrical experience. If I could watch Avengers Endgame at home, I would.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes. But I do understand people's love of being included in that group experience.
Yes.
I totally get it. For us, we would rather be comfortable and not have other people, like maybe possibly the possibility of tainting a viewing experience for us is way stronger than being like a part of the camaraderie of, you know, being like, oh my gosh, did they just
having that communal experience.
Did that just happen? Yeah, we would much rather just be comfortable. But that's our personality.
Mm-hmm.
That's not everyone. I mean, I'm sure some people are listening right now. They're like, no, that's not me. I want to go opening night so I know exactly how people feel. I want to be a part of it. I want to be have the first opinion. I totally get that. But that's not us.
No.
So I think that kind of comes down to it too. And I think it also has to do with tradition, right? Like this is the way you see movies. You know, as kids, if we didn't see a movie in theater, then it would be a very long time until you got to watch that again. So
it felt like forever.
It felt like forever. Yeah, and it was a really big deal if you like bought the VHS because those things cost a lot of money back then.
There were times when a VHS would cost $50.
Exactly. So I think that there also is that kind of thought process of like kind of preserving that idea of like, no, going to the movies is something special.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So I totally understand both sides, but I think this is what I'm getting at. We both definitely probably side with let Netflix do what they want to do.
And that's the thing is that like it feels petty because Netflix followed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
They followed the requirements. The Academy said, this is what you have to do to be considered. And they're like, okay, we'll do that.
Right.
And so when they won huge at the Oscars, they moved the goalpost.
Yeah.
That
doesn't seem fair to me. Like, I think that does come across as very petty at this point. Like post-Oscars, it's almost like Spielberg saying, no, 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 everyone who won for Roma, you shouldn't have won.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not fair.
No.
Like that's very petty. And it's not like he had a dog in the game here. It's just, it seems like, you know, it's not like he was considered for an award. It just seems like, okay, so now that we've established that this is okay, now we're taking it back. Like, yeah. That's not fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Amazon Prime has won Oscars. Hulu has won Oscars for documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
And now Netflix has won Oscars for Best Foreign Language and Cinematography and Directing.
And I think Short, I think I saw that too. Yeah. Yeah, Short documentary.
One thing that I never pronounced her name correctly, Ava DuVernay.
Okay.
DuVernay, the director of Selma and the 13th and Wrinkle in Time.
Mm-hmm.
She has done work with Netflix and she's on the board. And she is saying that by trying to silence Netflix, you are inadvertently silencing minorities because streaming platforms have given minority voices, you know, like people of color, women, people with disabilities, a platform, a much larger platform that otherwise they wouldn't have access to because it's very hard to get a 4-week distribution deal for wide release films if you're not already an established power. And who is an established power? White, older men.
Interesting.
And so I am sure that that is not Spielberg's intent whatsoever, but...
But it needs to be... recognized.
It needs to be recognized and it needs to be considered.
Right, before some decision is made.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so she will bring that to the table. Like when they have this discussion, when he proposes these rules, she is going to say, hold up. Like, think about this. And she's right.
Yeah.
Think about Roma. Like, I know we keep bringing it back to Roma, but like would Roma have gotten a wide release? I don't think it would have. I think it would have got a limited release because it's a foreign language film, and not many foreign language films get wide release in the States.
No. No, it's true.
It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You'd see it in art houses. You'd see it in New York and Los Angeles, and that's about it.
Right. And I mean, you think about the nominations, like putting those people on the map. Like, now we know who those people are or who are involved, versus like you just see the same actors and actresses nominated. Whereas like Roma actually like brought us some new faces to the nominees. So it was like, and minorities. So it's one of those things where it's like, embrace the times are changing.
It's don't be bitter,
right,
that something won, and so you have to move the goalposts so they don't win again, or make it harder to win again.
Right. And I think like, here's the thing, is that they're not necessarily arguing that it wasn't a good picture. It's just, I think because it comes out of this powerhouse called Netflix that makes all this money, but does it in a different way and not through their means, I think that that's part of it too.
It makes me feel, it reminds me of when, I can't remember if this was in Chicago or New York, where the taxi driver union tried to get Uber outlawed.
Okay, right.
It's just because everybody was flocking to Uber because it was better, it was faster, it was easier.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of taxi drivers just adapting, instead of services being more like Uber or doing something different or doing something new, they try to move the goalpost and get it outlawed and make it harder for people to have the choice.
Right.
And here's the thing, is that whatever Spielberg, like say that Spielberg gets his law, it gets his rules passed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, it doesn't mean that we're going to get less Netflix films. It just means that it's going to be harder for them to get nominated.
Right.
And it's an award. It doesn't mean that the movie doesn't exist.
Right, exactly.
It's just recognition for work.
Yeah.
And so is this the end of the world? No. And I was talking with Mike Schindler, who's also on the network, and you can check out his shows at thenerdparty.com, and you can check us out on social by going to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Yeah. You can find all those handles at thenerdparty.com. And he is in theater distribution. That is his profession.
Mm-hmm.
And he's such a valuable... He has such valuable insight into these matters. And I asked him...
That we don't have.
And I asked him specifically about the 90-day thing, about the 90-day exclusivity.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I was like, how do you feel about that? And he said, he's like, well, we're all talking about it. It's the most talked about topic. He said, he's like, that number keeps shrinking and shrinking because people want home releases as soon as possible.
Okay.
And he says, it's making it harder to get smaller films into the theater.
Oh, interesting.
And he says, but the thing is that he's like, I'm talking with my boss who's been in the industry for a very, very long time. Like, this is me speaking at Schindler. And he says, he's like, his boss says, I've seen the quote unquote death of theater a handful of times and we're still here.
Okay. Interesting.
So years ago, Spielberg once made a prediction that theatrical movies, would get more and more expensive and be only tentpole films. So you like it would be like going to Broadway.
Okay.
So it'd be like $50 to $100 per ticket.
Okay.
And you would only see like Avengers in the theater.
Right.
Medium and low would be home distribution. And I think I don't know if he's scared of that happening because he makes big films or what, or if he's trying to save the smaller films, because according to Schindler, if that 90-day gap is shrinking,
then the smaller films are going to be sacrificed. Or they're going to go to a different platform.
Exactly.
Right.
And I'm also I want more medium films. I want more smaller films, but I am 100% okay with them being on streaming.
I'm going to access them more if they're on streaming.
If there is a medium or smaller film that's going to have a theatrical release, I'm not going to see it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see it.
Well, because, I mean, it's not like Spielberg's wrong. You know, I mean, when we go to the theater, it costs us...
20 apiece if we see it in Dolby.
And more of the theaters around us are going to the whole dine-in.
Mm-hmm.
So... we could end up going to see a movie and it costing us like $70.
Easily.
Because all the food is jacked up super high. So if you want to have the whole experience, then you're looking at a night, basically. Yeah, like if you wanted to go through like a local theater, you know, we have some around here that are not like super high end, but like they're good theaters. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm talking about like acting, like theater, like stage theaters. Like it would cost you that much to go see a show. So it's kind of the same. Like he's right.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing is that
but
like
I'm okay with it.
I kind of am too.
Is
because
that terrible?
Well, no, it's just like if. Like with Lee Hutchison, like he has a cinema pass, pays a monthly fee. We have yet to get a service in the States that is reliable for that.
Yeah.
Except for like an AMC card. I think that they're starting to do that now. And so like it's like he can go see
everything.
Everything. He's like, I'll go see it. Like I have a pass. I can go see it as many times as I want every mm-hmm. day.
Right.
And if you had something like that, then yeah, we would go to the movies a whole lot more, and we'd spend that money on that food, we'd spend that money on that popcorn, and the theaters would make their money back.
Right.
But I'm not like I'm not going to go see a Seth Rogen comedy for $20 a pop.
No.
For multiple reasons, but but you know what I'm saying,
right?
And just like, and that's the thing, though. So many people are saying like, "Oh, well, then you're the problem as to why medium and smaller films are suffering." And I'm like, "Yeah, I kind of am. I'm sorry."
Yeah, you kind of own up to it.
I am. I own up to it. I am the problem. I am the person who is pushing the medium and smaller films out of the theater.
But I think it's also a matter of like the fact that we do have Netflix and you know Amazon Prime and Hulu and these places that are making quality products now. And so times are changing as well. So adapting with the times means that things will change. Mm-hmm. And I mean, from Nerd Nuptials' perspective, I feel like we'll see more smaller films if they come in those forms, because just our lifestyle, it takes a lot of work to go to the theater, and it costs a lot of money to go to the theater. So I think that's part of it as well. But If we had all the time and we had a cinema pass, we would totally use it.
Yeah.
But I do feel like we're okay with the change.
I want to end on an anecdote.
Okay.
So, growing up, my family was very kind of stereotypical in movie choice. Like, we watched movies constantly. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes once a day, all week. Like, mm-hmm. That's what we did as a family. You guys have heard me talk about that several times before. And we mainly watched like comedies and action and adventure and family films and everything like that. And, you know, my mom and dad would watch drama, and we'd watch sci-fi together and everything like that. But there was no indie, there was no foreign films or anything like that growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never really thought my parents had the urge to do that. Like when I got older, I would go to the library, I would try to find some of those indie films, some of those foreign films, and come home and watch them because I was so interested in film. Well, the other week, just a couple of weeks ago, my parents was having an issue with their streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Amazon Prime. And they're like, there was a film we started to watch, but we can't remember what it was. Can you look it up for us? And so I went and like looked up their history, and it was filled with German films and Asian films and Spanish films and independent movies. And I was just like, what the hell is this? And I called them up and I said, I was like, when did this start? They're like, well, we never had access to it before.
Mm, interesting.
And that just kind of blew my mind that I had no idea that my parents would have ever enjoyed these films. But because they had access to them through a streaming service, they gobbled it up.
Right.
Would they go to the theater and see that? No.
Right.
And is that available in the theater? No.
Well, I even think about the days when we would go through Blockbuster, right? Or like Family Video or whatever, and going through the aisles and stuff. And I mean, when it came to like watching things as a family and deciding what we were going to watch, we often would go to like the favorite section. Mm-hmm. That we had seen a bunch of times, right? Or it was the back wall, which had all the new releases. So all those other ones that maybe had like, you know, the new releases, like if it was a big movie, would have like probably like 20 copies. And then you'd have like an independent film that had like one copy. Like you had like, yeah, we have it, but you know, mm-hmm. there's one copy of it. It's not like my parents would have been like, yeah, I'm going to grab that one, because the quantity meant quality. And sometimes
popularity.
It meant popularity. Well, to them. Do you know what I'm saying?
To them, yes.
Right,
yes. Okay,
right. Because like, okay, well, if they're going to buy all these to rent out, then it has to be somewhat good or safe. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're guilty of that as well. Like, we watch a whole lot more independent things now at home than we ever would have if we were in that same environment that we grew up in. Right?
Yeah.
100%.
Because you'd have to pay per purchase.
Exactly.
Pay per purchase. You pay per watch.
Right.
You pay per opportunity to watch. Just right. like when we're renting stuff on iTunes, which is now $6 to rent.
Right.
Like, we have to really want to watch that.
Yeah.
And not wait until streaming.
Right.
But the thing is, with streaming, you pay $12 a month. And it's, you know, like, you have that mentality of, it's free when I watch it.
Right.
Even though you're paying for it. But you're paying it, like, for pennies on the dollar.
Right.
If you use your service every day.
Exactly.
And that's that mentality. And so when you go from $20 a ticket down to $6 a watch,
mm-hmm.
down to 3 cents a watch.
Yeah.
You're going to watch more that way.
It's true.
So we need to embrace that streaming service and not move the goalpost.
Yeah. Now, you know, let us know. What do you think about this?
Are we crazy?
Are we crazy? Are we the problem? We're the ones killing, you know, the cinema experience. And, you know, not that we don't enjoy the cinema experience, but we do enjoy watching at home a whole lot more. Are you just like us? And yeah, like, if you could take away all the people from viewing a movie, you would totally do that. Let us know.
Yeah, let us know by writing us by going to thenerdparty.com/contact. Select Nerd Nuptial from the drop-down menu. Fill out the form. It'll send us an email. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenerdparty or twitter.com@joinnerdparty. And as also, we're on Instagram. And so please let us know. We've talked a lot about it. I don't think Spielberg is a villain. I think he's a little bit of an old man yelling at a cloud. But I want to say something positive, and it's escaping me. So,
well, I think it's one of those things where there's probably not a right or wrong, because there's so many sides of this issue, mm-hmm. right? So, we love movies.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I love you.
I know.
Scully.
Yes.
Marry me.
I love you, and I like you.
I love you, and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.